a Rayo Original Podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
From Greatest Hits Radio.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Yes, hello. Welcome to another Confessions podcast in the week of, on the one hand, Valentine's Day. On the other hand, Friday the 13th. So are you feeling loved up or are you feeling superstitious? Just asking.
I'm going to say loved up.
Loved up.
Mm.
So is it only those two choices I can only have? Loved up or superstitious?
You hate Valentine's, don't you?
I do. So let's go for superstitious then. There you go, a bit of balance. Okay. There it is. Yeah.
Always loved up.
Always.
Come on.
Yeah.
Anyway, that worked really well as a bit,
yeah,
I think.
It did.
Make sure we keep that podcast. Yeah. Anyway, Sister Susie's made a journey from the pub so that she can actually be here.
I have indeed.
Brother Matthew has also made a trip so he can actually be here.
Yes, I've made a trip, that's true.
Yeah. Sister Holly has made a trip in so that she can lie over the tack cupboard to make sure.
We're doing this again.
Yes.
Every time
is lying on top of the cupboard.
It's the only way. Security's not good and the only way. Where you can stop people nicking our stuff. No, she has to drape herself.
No, that's definitely
looking very stern.
Interesting.
When people are being shown around the building, they go, "What's that woman doing?" Is that Holly?
Yeah.
Oh, I've heard about that.
Yeah. I'm picturing myself in a ball gown doing it.
Okay. Yes.
Good.
That's very good. Later, we're going to stop at the parish notice board where Matt will have found all the things about him.
Yeah.
The not for broadcast section, also all the confessions that made it onto the show this week. That'll be drive time on Greatest Hits Radio, including Jane's changing calamity, zippity-doo-dah, Rachel's car park disaster, waiter-waiter percolator, Cliff's confession, I like tall speakers, but first we're going to start with Litmus's shoe tale, these boots are made for walking.
Simon Mayo's confessions.
We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession comes from someone who wants to be known as Litmus.
Litmus.
Not a proper name, but Litmus. Okay. Father Simon, Brother Matt, Sister Susie and Sister Holly, I am writing to you not as the confessor, but instead the victim of the following confession. This story concerns my mother, Josephine, and her sin against me that still haunts me to this day. To set the scene, I was born in Chester to my parents, Josephine and Ernie, not their real names. While my dad came from a relatively small English family, my mum was the middle child of two Irish parents who'd emigrated to Cheshire in the late 1960s. The eldest, let's call her Barbara, was troublesome in her youth, and that resulted in her eventually permanently moving back to Ireland. So if you fast forward to October 2007, I, says Litmus, am now 2.5 years old. Okay, 2.5.
Yeah. Yes.
When Barbara's child, Matthew, was having his 21st birthday, my parents decided to brave the Irish Sea to visit for the occasion. To mark said occasion, my mum had decided to buy me new shoes. They were Caterpillar boots, and I loved them. Now, these boots had been £40, and rightly so, she didn't want to spoil them before going to Ireland. This meant I only tried them on once, before she whisked them away, put them back in the shoebox, making sure to pack them up the way they had been bought from the shop. Soon we're on our way to Ireland, our car packed to breaking point, full of presents for Matthew, several suitcases, and my new £40 Caterpillar shoes.
Oh, yes.
Eventually, we landed in Ireland, driving a short distance from the harbour to our hotel. Barbara and her family lived in the lovely town of Bray in County Wicklow, and our hotel was located in this town near the sea. The day of the party arrived, but it wasn't to start till mid-afternoon. So to while away the time, my parents decided to head to the beach to take a stroll up and down the promenade. I knew that I was going to be wearing my new £40 Caterpillar boots later that day, but I couldn't wait. So I begged my parents to try them on now for the walk before the party. My dad wasn't too sure about this idea, saying in a voice surprisingly similar to Ray Winston.
Of course.
Yeah.
They cost 40 quid, you know. 40 And despite his protest, my mum thought that it would be a good idea to wear them in. So we kitted up, hat check, gloves check, coat check, all that was left to put on my new favourite Caterpillar boots, £40, you know. So my mum dutifully got them out of the shoebox, taking off the paper, wrapped around them and put them on my feet. Well, that's odd, my mum said. They don't fit now. This statement was confirmed by my face, which was starting to scrunch up with pain. My parents were shocked. How could these boots, which fitted perfectly in England, somehow not fit me in Ireland? My dad suggested that maybe the Irish have a different shoe system.
What?
To England. My mum did not find this funny. And what? Seemingly to take out her frustration, doubled her efforts to push my feet into the boots. I started to cry blue murder as the boots had clearly shrunk. Or maybe my dad was right. Ireland really does affect all the shoes that come in from England. Eventually, with the help of my dad, the boots were wrestled onto my feet, leaving me with a feeling I've never, ever forgotten. This whole fiasco meant that our walk had to be cut short, and so my parents kept up a brisk walking speed, as brisk as he can with a two-year-old in agony. Clearly, this was bothering my mum, who, not wanting to be late to the party, said, "Don't be so silly, there's nothing wrong with you, just walk! What's wrong with you, just walk! One foot, one foot!" I was convinced there was something going on. My mum was determined to get £40 worth of wear from these boots.
Good.
Eventually, my face streaked with tears, we headed back to the hotel to spruce up for the party. I must have been still crying a lot, so my mum took one of the boots off to inspect it. She had a quick glance inside, couldn't see anything, and then to make sure there wasn't anything at the bottom of the boot, she reached in, and lo and behold, there was something in there. With slow, deliberate movements, she pulled out something that looked remarkably like the squashed piece of paper. The kind of paper that is found in shoes shape of them they're bought. Kind of paper that my mum, in her infinite wisdom, had replaced after she'd checked to make sure that they fitted when we were in England. Suffice to say, my mum was mortified, with echoes of the Chinese tradition of foot binding from another era.
Another era, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Ever since then, I always made sure that my new shoes handed to me did not contain any paper in them whatsoever. As the victim of this act of cruelty, I thought it would be best to tell her tale to you, Father Simon, and the collective, to seek forgiveness for my mother. I would like to add that my mum is a lovely, caring person, mm-hmm. and that everyone, including myself, would trust her with absolutely everything, apart from shoes. Yours mercifully, Litmus. P.S. She kept that piece of paper long after the incident, as it had the perfect imprint of my toes on them. I mean, that's how hard that they were pressed against.
The piece
of paper had a permanent imprint of Litmus's toes. Well, a child in agony and Sister Susie will be stern, I fear.
Well, yes, probably I should be stern, and I should probably say something like, you were the mother and you probably should have checked in the shoe for all of the paper, because, you know, at 2.5, they can't say, as much as they can say, ow, it hurts, they can't say, there's something still stuck in my shoe. However, I'm a mother and I'm very... I feel for her, and I've definitely done the, come on, put one foot in front of the other, just keep walking myself. So for that reason, I think I'm going to forgive.
Those boots cost £40. You're going to walk until I've had £40 worth of leather out of them. Thank you very much indeed, Brother Matthew.
£40 seems like a lot to spend on a pair of shoes from whenever this was, many, many years ago.
2001.
£40?
On a 2.5-year-old
children's shoes are expensive.
They clearly are. Made of real caterpillars, presumably. But I'm going to forgive because, you know, I mean, A, she was fine in the end. A few tears, but it was. Well, we all learned a lesson, didn't we? We all learned to look for the paper inside the shoe if we can't fit our foot into the shoe.
It's a fairly basic thing to do.
It is a pretty basic thing, isn't it? But we've all learned that, and we won't be doing that again. And we certainly won't be spending £40 on shoes.
Why didn't you check foot
Goodness
doesn't
me.
Fit? Just put your hand in.
Put your hand in.
Then
we've all learned that as well, haven't we? So well done, everyone. Going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
I think it was something very Dickensian about that whole thing. Just shove your feet in, and if your toes break, I'm sorry about that, but they cost £40.
£40? I mean, that's like 20 years ago. £40 for a pair of shoes.
I think you've
that's
made this point.
That's insane.
You would spend so about expensive. 20p on
shoes. I would not be spending £40 20 years ago on shoes.
Would you spend that now?
£40 now? But I mean, these cost more than £40.
You're wearing Doc Martens, aren't you?
No, these are boots. But these cost more than £40. But that's now, Holly.
But also for
that's
a toddler
now.
As well. They don't wear
a
them
toddler.
For very long.
I was buying a toddler boots. I mean, they grow out of them in
anyway,
minutes.
This could just go on forever.
No, let's keep it going.
But mostly forgiveness on the people's verdict for the mother, apart from this one, who was rather harsh, I think.
Josh in Liverpool says, not forgiven. Wouldn't it have been logical to check what was in the shoe after Litmus put them on instead of forcing her to wear them? That was just mean.
Imagine if that had been a Dutch confession and they'd been wearing clogs and the clogs had been the wrong. So that would have just broken his foot altogether.
Why is it different?
Because they're made
clogs.
Of wood.
They're still painted.
Not leather.
Okay.
They're made of wood.
They are made of wood, that's true. Yes.
So therefore they're not forgiving, are they?
But forgiving as in the clogs?
No, the clogs don't.
Right. None of this is making any sense.
I have just looked and you could get some kind of caterpillar boots for a toddler now for £60.
60 quid?
Yeah.
That's not bad, is it? Mind you, 60 quid.
What do you mean that's not
caterpillar
bad?
Caterpillar boots. What kind of, what does that mean? I don't even know what a caterpillar
it's
boot
the brand,
is.
The brand, Caterpillar.
What, like the...
The one with the yellow
the
marking
work,
round
the work
it.
People.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
They make bulldozers.
They make bulldozers,
yeah.
Yeah. What also, are you giving them JCBs. To your kids?
Also, the main difference between clogs and shoes is that clogs are made of wood and therefore wood. Incredibly yes. uncomfortable.
What is this fascination with clogs that suddenly appears?
Because if this confession had come from Holland, it would have been really cruel on the kid.
It would have been,
that's
true.
No, but then maybe they wouldn't. It would have been fine because there wouldn't have been paper shoved in them.
So it would have been actually more comfortable.
And paper is made of wood. Oh, it all comes together, doesn't it? It's all coming together. Glad you brought the clogs up. Well done.
Yeah. No, I'm afraid none of that works.
Yes, it does.
Anyway, let's head off to the parish notice board where the world makes more sense when Matt reads it.
Correct. So here we go. All the 5-star reviews that I have unearthed.
You've written yourself.
I've written myself. Trace G1 says, love it. 5 stars. I have always listened to this show from the beginning. It's so funny. I love everyone.
We love you, Trace.
I would love longer podcast as it goes by too quickly.
Yes.
That's nice. Thanks, Trace G1. Jane 558 says, 5 stars. 5 stars. Glad you're back. I love this podcast. I used to listen years ago, showing my age in the 90s. Have now found you again. I've binge listened the previous episodes whilst driving to and from work, but then saved them up so I could listen whilst I travel on a coach to my holiday. Needless to say, I'm actually listening at the moment, and I've had a couple of strange looks when I'm not held in my laughter. And I've not held in my laughter.
Why are you talking about that?
That doesn't make any sense. I've had a couple of strange looks when I've not held in. Oh, when I've not held in my laughter. Spot on. Absolutely brilliant. Please keep it going. I've told anyone who would listen about this. I know you've got a few more listeners.
Anyone who would listen.
Anyone who'd listen. Jane 558. And Danny Boy says, 5 stars, 5 stars. I love this podcast. Great confessions, brilliant chemistry, and never fails to make me laugh. Most of all, I love Matt. Always right and forgives everyone with reasoning that only makes sense because he said it. More Matt, please. Hashtag emoji smiley face.
There's hashtag. How many
there's
times do we have to say this?
At the end there. More Matt, please. Hashtag emoji smiley face.
Just emoji.
Just a smiley.
Where's the hashtag?
The hashtag is how you get the emojis.
No, it's not.
I'm pretty sure I'm right. Again.
No.
Are we going to have to wait for people to write in again and tell me I'm right?
You just go
as
to
I
the
was right about Redditor, I think I was right then. Wasn't I? And I'm right now. Well done, Matt. Anyway.
Okay. So if you'd like to write in and just explain how you get to the emoji page.
Yes. Using hashtag.
Susie, I'm trusting that you have selected something slightly more coherent.
Yes. This is from Jeanette. And she said she's just heard the confession with the story of the stolen chicken and the cat. And it reminded her of my old cat, a very assertive ginger cat who ruled her domain with glares like a dowager duchess.
Dowager. Yeah,
dowager.
It's the name of an old barge, isn't it?
Is it?
Dutch barge made of wood.
It's not.
Like a clog.
And you have to have
it's
clogs
like a,
to
a
board.
Big old clog. That's what it was.
This is like a fever dream. Anyway, go ahead.
We had many gifts from her over the years, including a one-legged toy chicken, which we nicknamed Priscilla the Chicken. We also had a live hamster and one day a string of sausages. However, her finest hour was one Christmas morning as the family were unwrapping their presents. There was a loud bang at the cat flap, accompanied by a blood-curdling wail. On opening the door, she marched in proudly with a very large uncooked turkey.
No.
Wow, good work.
Ruining Christmas.
Good work.
We have no idea where it came from, but I'm sure the poor family she lifted it from ended up with pigs in blankets for Christmas dinner. Whoever you are, I'm sorry. From Jeanette in Rugby.
It's another Dickensian Christmas there, isn't it? Family has starved.
Yes, a little miracle on Christmas Day.
How
isn't
can
it?
A cat carry a turkey?
Well,
it's not fighting back, is it, this turkey? I'm guessing.
Probably
it's
got, not. I mean,
turkeys are quite big, though.
Just grab it by the leg.
You do, you just, that's what I would do.
But how's she bringing it in the house?
Well, she knocked at the door, didn't she? Yeah.
She
had to open the door.
The cat knocked
she
at the
get
door.
In the, cat flap.
The cat knocked at the door and said, I've got a turkey.
Could you let me in?
But it's wearing clogs. Anyway.
A little mouse with clogs on.
Clogs on. Do you remember that?
Where I declare.
Where on the stair.
Yes. Right there.
A dowager is a widow or widower who holds a title or property.
So where's the barge bit come in? That doesn't work.
In Holland.
In Holland. So the dowager was on a barge in Holland. That's where I come to.
Clogs.
There's something going on with Holland today.
It
doesn't make any sense to me. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway. Keep your additions, please, to the Parish Notice Board. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. A couple of mentions to Pam and Polly, M's bunch of numbers, Michelle Liverpool.
Let's say Michelle in Liverpool, probably.
Well, it's all written in one word.
All right. Michelle Liverpool.
Username
in Liverpool, I guess.
Yeah. Liverpool.
Well, that might make sense on the computer, but it looks...
Mm. What if that's her last name?
Yeah.
Could be, couldn't
it?
Yeah.
She's a vicar in a church in Liverpool.
How do we know that?
God, you're like best friends with her.
Wow, yeah.
Because
you've been looking her up.
We've had this conversation before.
Have we? I don't remember this.
We just came
Michelle
around in
from
circles.
Liverpool is a vicar? Maybe people can write in and tell us about what happened last time.
Max and Leo and Coco and Helen Rawlins, who are amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week, which was, of course, Greatest Youth Radio. I can't remember why.
No.
Matt will have a new secret code phrase at the end of this podcast. Now it's time for a rather grubby, really dirty, dirty, dirty section of the programme. Mm. It's the not-for-broadcast bit. Mike, you're sent for a burger by a thoroughly unpleasant supervisor. Instead of just taking the order, you decide to take revenge, enlisting a mate and adding, I can't read that out. Using a part of, can't read that out. Nobody wants, can't read that one. Shame
on
you.
Not a loss on this. Right, okay.
Anyway, it was a classic kind of, you order something in a restaurant, you annoy someone in the restaurant, they make sure that your food is contaminated.
In a certain way. Bastard.
By bodily
spaces. Yep. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Tom, you're an apprentice electrician paired with an engineer who treats you like a piece of equipment rather than a human being. So while he's up a stepladder in a very small room, you take revenge in a way that involves unfortunate positioning, poor air circulation, and a personal emission that clearly crossed the very eggy line. So it's basically a fart in a small place.
Mm. Okay. And with the staircase?
In a small place.
He's up a staircase?
He's up a wooden stepladder from Holland.
Stepladder from Holland.
How could he go on queue like that?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Let's
how do
think
you
about
know?
That.
Possible? How do you...
Yeah.
Can you do it?
On queue? I wish. There's a career in showbiz that would be...
Anyway.
Doing very well. Anyway, there's another anyway.
If you're going to send in a confession, which is great, just make sure that it's appropriate for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so no crime, no laxatives or any of that kind of thing. And anything else we need to say about that? Anything?
Yeah,
anything
no laxatives illegal. And no crime. Those are our watch words, aren't they?
They're the rules. Anyway, let's get back to the confessions that did make it to air. And let's try Jane's confession. Zippity-doo-dah.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone, just the entire nation. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Jane. Father Simon, Brother Matt, Sisters Holly and Susie, and the ever-forgiving Greatest Hits Radio congregation. I was listening to Drive Time the other day when a confession was read out concerning personal effects.
Your
invitation to send one in... anything relating to personal effects.
Yes,
you remember
that confession.
With the confessee had no idea what they actually were.
No.
It certainly didn't mean the photographs that they actually found.
No, they didn't.
Anyway, says Jane, my sinful act was indeed personal and no doubt the effects were felt by more than just me. Back in 1997, I had secured a place at a local university to study for a BEd, a Bachelor of Education. I did go to Birmingham University to study medical biochemistry back in the 70s, but suffice to say, it didn't work out, largely because it was completely beyond me. So I take my hat off to any biochemists in the land. And now, with three young children, aged 5, 7 and 9, I was looking to teach at primary level and needed a degree to do so. Not only would I be a mature student, but I would also be a rather dumpy mature student. So I had embarked, since being notified of the place, on a regime to lose said dumpiness, although I couldn't do much about the maturity. So to cut a long story short, I did indeed shed many, many pounds, and delighted with my achievement, set about a serious shopping trip to purchase new jeans, as the old ones, well, they didn't exactly hang off me, but new smaller ones would do wonders for my self-esteem. Excellent. I forgot who I left the children with that day, but it was fine. And I was on my own. The kids were with someone, I can't remember who it was.
It doesn't matter. Okay.
But I was own.
Yes.
Okay.
Anyone who's had or has small children know how precious these times are. Serious shopping now has to be done in Oxford Street, in my case, in London. So off I went to Marks and Spencer's for new knickers, the sort with lace at the top, and also jeans. I'm just giving you the information that Jane gives me.
Goodness me.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. It's all relevant.
Is it?
Picking up a pair in a suitably smaller size, I made for the, fortunately, thank you God, the individual changing room, albeit with only a curtain and not a chunky lockable door. Having dispensed with my old fraying baggy jeans, I reached for the new ones. Most people will know, however, that M&S sizes are a good deal more generous than other makes, especially brand new stiff denim jeans. Whilst I could pull them up easily enough, doing the zip was a bit more of a challenge. Breathing in, I gave an almighty tug on the zip, but to my horror, it caught in the lacy bit at the top of the old knickers. You remember that I like a bit of lace that I was wearing that day. No amount of pulling up and pushing down and sideways yanking or any other kind of movement dislodged the wretched zip from my new jeans, from the lacy bit at the top of my old knickers. Okay. I got hotter and hotter, as anyone who's had been in a similar sort of position will have experienced. I can hear Susie laughing. And began to wish I had a pair of scissors in my bag. Why did I not have scissors? Because why would you take scissors?
No.
There was nothing for it except to pull the jeans off with the knickers attached and to put on my old jeans. Safely clothed again, I tucked the irretrievably attached knickers inside the jeans and emerged from the changing room, probably looking slightly dishevelled despite my efforts not to. How are they for size? Wondered the assistant hovering outside.
Oh, no.
Fine, but they're a little pricey, so I'll just pop these back on the shelf for you.
Oh, no.
And before she could take them from me, I leapt over to the shelf, shoved them on top of the pile, and legged it out of the shop. Yes, it's true. I have to beg forgiveness, Father Simon, for the obvious trauma that finding my knickers attached to the jeans must have caused. Can I try these? Oh, are these free?
Oh, no. Oh.
Either to the shop assistant during a quiet period when they would be tidying and straightening all those on-the-shelf items, or indeed to the next customer who would have found rather more than they bargained for. Maybe it's just an extra bonus. Buy one, get something else free.
Someone else's pants
for free. I did achieve my degree second time around and taught for just over 20 years at both primary and secondary maths level. Yeah. Enough said. Yeah. You may feel justice has already been done. With very best wishes for the amazing job you all do. From Jane, please do not read out my surname, as there are literally hundreds of students, now adults themselves, who will remember me. From Buckinghamshire.
Okay.
I mean, the thing is, it is what could she do? She couldn't. I think most people would have done the same, wouldn't they? Anyway,
no.
Suze, what do you say to
Jane? I am not leaving a pair of my worn underwear in a pair of jeans and putting them back on the shelf.
Well, what are you going to do? You can't.
No one would have done the same. Now, I do feel for Jane here, and there are a lot that I relate to. I relate to the fact that she was on her own and had some time away from the kids. That is wonderful. I also have that panic moment of when you get stuck in something in a changing room. For me, it was something over my head and I couldn't get it off. And there is a panic moment, and I do feel for that. However, these were a pair of knickers.
They were.
You had worn. And I would say, as embarrassing as it was, you should have gone to the changing room woman and said, look, I'm in a situation, can you get a pair of scissors?
Well, a freebie is a freebie, isn't it? You know, if you get the jeans with a matching
I'm
pair of knickers.
Not forgiving. No.
Okay. Brother Matthew.
I mean, yes, I think I'm gonna find a way to forgive here. I really don't know how. I mean, leaving your pants in a shop, yep. That's...
attached to trousers.
Attached used. To, well, obviously attached to the trousers.
Maybe it's a new trend. It's like those yes. sports shorts with... Which
that's
come
what
with
I would be thinking. I'd be thinking, is this a new thing that I've missed out on? Look, I've bought trousers and they came with someone else's pants. Goodness me.
And I can't zip them up.
No, and I'm the zip doesn't work. So, you know, I mean, it was good fun and well done to Jane. And she went on to be a teacher, so that's okay. So for all of those reasons that didn't make any sense, I'm going to forgive.
Saint or sinner? Find them all on Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
Also, I didn't think of this at the time, but, you know, you'd take home your new trousers and then your other half would say, whose pants are these?
Whose pants, yeah.
In your new trousers.
Yeah.
Didn't take you long, did it?
Did it? No. Things you literally just bought them.
Yes. Mm. On the way home.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's the other thing. Technology improves everything. You know, phones are better, radios are better, cars are better, everything is in there. Has the technology for a zip improved at all over the decades? Zip is still the same thing.
It's still liable to...
But because it's perfect, that's why it's not improved.
Is that what it is?
Because it's because when you zip it up, then it stays zipped, doesn't it?
Yeah, but sometimes they don't though, because there's such a thing as those jeans, you know, with zips which sort of slip, you know, a bit, you know.
Yeah, and
we all know
zips.
The type. So the zip
coat never actually works properly.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed on the zip. I'm just saying to the zip manufacturers, get your act together, improve the zip technology. I don't know how you just... Anyway, people's verdict.
Apparently, Dave from Frinton, though, says, forgiven. In the 1980s, having left college, I was working in a shop selling jeans, and I did find a lady's G-string inside the leg of a pair of jeans. Provoked much laughter and brightened an otherwise ordinary day.
Maybe this sort of thing happens a lot.
Maybe.
And it's been underreported until now. Well, it is interesting. Maybe
I'm starting to think this does happen.
If you work in a clothes store that sells trousers, maybe you find other people's pants in there on a regular basis.
And maybe you do. I also thought it was funny the way Matt said G-string then. G-string.
It is a bit much.
It's
a G-string to go shopping. That feels a little bit...
Also, like, you could cut... If they got stuck... Then you could cut it out, surely.
Cut your G-string. Cut my pants off?
Well, she was stuck in the...
Oh, I see, off the jeans. No, that's a good idea. Yeah.
If you cut, surely you could cut out of it. I mean, unless you just forgot.
Then you found a pair of scissors and just cut
yourself
out.
There's no scissors in the changing room.
No.
So and you can't
your
come
keys.
Out.
If your car keys, you
if
could
I
do that.
Cut my car keys with my G-string.
Or maybe you've got like a little multi-tool on your keys.
My multi-tool, there it comes. Multi-tool for the G-string.
This is why you don't wear G-strings, Matt, or lacy pants.
That's so true, yes. Or just have a multi-tool.
Improve the zip technology and everything will be fine. Come on, zip makers. Anyway, still to come, it's a catastrophe in Waitrose car park for Rachel in Waiter, Waiter, Percolator. But first, it's Cliff's confession. I like tall speakers.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions podcast.
Today's confession comes from Cliff. Thanks, Cliff. Brother Matthew, Sister Susie, Holly, and the Right Honourable Father Simon. There are several people partially responsible for my confession today, including you, Father Simon. But I think the person who is ultimately the most responsible, although he probably isn't aware of it, is Billy Joel.
Oh, right.
What?
We tried to get Billy involved in the collective, but he's busy. 16 years ago, my wife and I were blessed to have our first child. Upon our wonderful arrival, we were tasked with giving her a suitably wonderful name. My wife and I both love the many great songs of Mr. Joel, and after watching a documentary on the piano genius, we discovered that the daughter that he shares with his ex-wife, Christy Brinkley, has been named Alexa.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
At the time of our first daughter's birth, this name seemed like an original and unusual name, and so we chose it. To use for our beloved first child. Little did we know, 16 years later, it would be the female name most commonly spoken every day in homes throughout our great nation and many others. My confession today only happened on Monday. This is a couple of weeks
ago. Oh, right.
The big company that shares its name with a long river in Brazil delivered me a package. I mean, that really doesn't narrow it down very much, does it?
Wow.
Nothing unusual there. We have a Prime account with them with easy order settings in place and regularly use it to place orders and have things delivered. What was unusual about this package, though, was that it was a CD, a compact disc for Holly, if she's wondering. And this compact disc was the greatest hits of the boy band Blue. Now, I quite liked a few of their songs, as probably most people do, but I wouldn't call myself a huge fan, and I definitely did not order their best of CD. On opening up the package, I assumed it was some kind of mistake had occurred, and that I'd been sent someone else's order in error. I looked up a phone number and called the company to inform them of the mistake and to arrange for them to return it back. On speaking with them, though, my mysterious CD proved even more mysterious. I was informed that the order was not a mistake. It had been ordered from my address and ordered by me. Now, I knew fully well that I hadn't ordered it. I informed the polite man on the end of the phone of this and said that I would like to return it later this coming week. The customer operative was very polite, arranged the return, and wished me a good day. Still slightly baffled by my mysterious order, and I hadn't been drinking, I investigated it a little further. It's an exciting life around our way, as you can imagine. I looked online and found that I had placed my order on Monday, the 19th of January, at 4:55 p.m. I sat and I had a little think, and then gradually things began to fall into place. See, at the time of my order, I'd been in the kitchen with my wife making dinner. She was doing most of the making. I was offering a little assistance by chopping up some carrots. Anyway, we were having a nice chat. We also had Your Good Selves playing alongside us in the background. It was apparently the most depressing day of the year, but you were changing Blue Monday into Blues Monday, which is why we Greatest Hits Radio so much.
Yes.
With some choice bluesy songs played throughout the show to cheer everyone up. The time of my order, or rather minutes just before, you had played the brilliant new order track, True Faith.
Yes. Yeah.
I had been discussing this song's brilliance with my daughter, who at 16 has very much discovered an appreciation of music recently. I remember that song, and the fact that it was Blues Monday had led me to discussing the even more amazing new order song, Blue Monday. Thinking how apt that song would have been as well, I also remembered stating that I thought Blue Monday was probably their greatest hit, and that I proudly had it next door in my CD collection. In a Columbo meets Murder, She Wrote kind of way, it became obvious what had happened that evening. My musical discussion with my daughter had inadvertently glitched the whole system. And by system, I mean where the smart speaker world meets the Brazilian River shopping world.
Yeah. Mm.
Our ever-attentive smart speaker had been listening to our chat and put two and two and two together. I can't remember specifically what we had said, but it somehow heard me saying my words and rearranged them to form something that it recognized. It must have been, "Alexa, place a new order for Blue on Monday. It is one of their greatest hits. And can I have it on CD?" And so my mysterious online shopping order... You have to be very careful what you say in front of the smart speaker.
Yeah.
My mysterious online shopping order was explained. "I would like to ask forgiveness for ordering and now returning the CD and ultimately wasting the Brazilian River people's time and energy. Please don't let any of this dissuade you from sending me another smart speaker, of course. I'm sure we can fit one into another room in the house. We'll just have to be extra careful not to mention our daughter's name and one of Manchester's very finest bands in the same sentence ever again. As I stated earlier, I think this is ultimately Billy Joel's fault for influencing my beautiful daughter's choice of name and creating potential mayhem wherever she goes." I mean, I suspect that there are quite a few people named Alexa who have this quite a lot.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you ask Alexa to lay the table or something like that, the speaker will go crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, Susie, what do you say to Cliff?
Well, Cliff, you know, I hear what you're saying, and that's a very difficult situation. I feel like blaming Billy Joel is a bit much, isn't it? And I just feel like maybe
you know, you bought these speakers. You didn't have to introduce them to your house. You could have gone down another route and had a different smart speaker that didn't have your daughter's name as the activated voice.
Very good
so
point.
I feel like you're asking for it, but for your Bluetooth betrayal, I'm not going to forgive.
Oh, oh my goodness.
We're all getting
on
it now.
That's terrible.
Oh, yes.
Brother Matthew.
Yes, I'm going to forgive. Aren't you able to change? Can you change the name? I don't have one of these smart speakers, but can you change the name if you've got somebody in your family called the same as the, like, you know, Siri?
But imagine
like
if
that.
You've got a boy called Siri and a girl called Alexa.
What a nightmare. Yeah. But, you know, that combination of all of those things, the Blue Monday, New Order, Greatest Hits, love it. So, I'm definitely going to forgive because, in a way, you know, Cliff didn't start the fire, did he? Billy Joel, of course, did. So no, he didn't. That was the point of the song. Yeah. But for all of those reasons, because he didn't start the fire, I'm going to forgive.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners. Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Rachel. Real name. She says, go ahead and use my real name. I think it's okay. Father Simon, Sister Susie, and the Confessional Collective, I have been thinking of confessing for some time. As every time I listen to the feature, this incident and the uncomfortable feeling of guilt crawls into my consciousness. This incident happened some years ago, within the last 10. I can't honestly remember precisely, but I do remember, for reasons that will become obvious, that it was sunny and fairly warm. The scene of my crime, Waitrose, in Ashford, in Kent. I was pleased to find the car park fairly empty and swung into a spot almost opposite the main door. The car facing me, parked in a disabled bay, was, to the best of my recollection, a white estate car. An old lady was sitting in the passenger seat with a man of about 50-ish, her son possibly, got out of the driver's side and went into the store just ahead of me. I got a small trolley, because I generally use the store for just certain bits and bobs, not a full shop, and I headed inside. My visit was a fairly unremarkable one and, had the subsequent incident not happened, would have been quickly forgotten. This was in the day, back in the days, the good old days, when Waitrose loyalty card holders were able to get a free hot drink. And not being able to resist a freebie, once I had paid for my shopping, I headed for the coffee machine.
Oh, yes.
My beverage of choice, a latte, which I wouldn't have chosen had it been a really hot day. But anyway, the latte is what I loved. With my free booty, I mean, it's a coffee.
Yeah.
I headed to the exit, cursing Waitrose for not adding a drinks holder to their trolleys, trying to steer the already temperamental trolley and hold the cup, which was quite tricky, but I was managing it by using my abdomen to keep said trolley on track for the car.
Yeah.
Right.
Coffee, abdomen, trolley.
This all sounds fine.
It's great, yeah.
As I emerged into the sunshine, I smiled as I saw the old lady in the passenger seat of the white estate car. She had wound the window all the way down and was fast asleep, her head resting on the seatbelt pillar. She looked so peaceful and content. Not having far to go, I persevered, steering the trolley with my right hand and abdomen whilst holding the latte in my left. I was about mid-distance between the two cars when it happened. A sudden gust of wind blew the lid off my cup.
Oh, no.
Squealing, partly in surprise and partly in indignation, I snapped my head round to see where the lid had gone, because I hate littering, obviously. And that's when I realised the terrible consequences of this gust of wind. Not content with the lid, it had also blown off the generous layer of creamy coffee foam
from my coffee.
But in a cruel twist of fate, the foam had splattered right across the side of the white estate car, pebble dashing it like a flock of seagulls had passed overhead. You know what I'm saying? Now you will recall me mentioning the peaceful old lady asleep in the front seat with the window wound down. Well, I'm afraid to say she had not been spared. She too was pebble dashed with a mixture of white and brown foam. A large dollop hit her on the forehead and was now slowly dribbling down the side of her nose. Also, the coffee lid was now perched on her head like a very small hat.
Goodness me, it's all happening.
I froze momentarily. I'd seen her son, or whoever it was, queuing at the checkout, and he would surely appear very soon and see his elderly mother covered in the muck from my free beverage. Well, I should have waited. I should have gone over. I should have retrieved the plastic lid from her head. But I didn't. I grabbed the bag from the trolley in my free hand, shoved the trolley the best I could using just my abdomen, both my hands now being occupied, into the adjacent empty parking bay, got in the car and hot-footed it out of the car park. Father Simon, Sister Susie and the collective, I seek forgiveness first from the old lady who was pebble-dashed by my latte, courtesy of the wind, and secondly her son, who must have been totally bemused at the sight which met him when he left the store. What had happened to his mother? How had this occurred? I'm also not proud of abandoning my trolley in an empty bay, nor littering, having failed to retrieve the plastic lid from her head. Yours penitently, Rachel, now living in Cornwall. So she's perfectly fine.
Run away, okay.
Yes, I think I think she has run away because you don't want to be sought out by the Waitrose.
No, you don't. You know what they're like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, and that 50-year-old son was probably going to be, she was going to be steaming.
Yeah.
Anyway, a very nice incident. I like this one very much. Susie, what do you say?
I'm a bit concerned that the woman didn't wake up. Like, I feel like if I'd have had foam...
Oh, she was dead, do you think? No, it wasn't. He's saying it killed her.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if she's dead or not, but like, surely if you had something thrown in your face, you would wake up. But either way, if she didn't wake up, then it couldn't have been that bad. So I kind of want to forgive Rachel because it was very, very funny. But, you know, she should maybe... pay more attention because you could put your shopping in your car first and then go back and get your coffee so you had two hands.
Rachel, maybe. I really don't think you should have used your real name now. Yes. Now we're not sure whether the old lady is alive or not.
Yeah, maybe.
Brother Matthew.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, well, whose fault was it? It wasn't Rachel's. It was the person who put the lid on the coffee cup.
Well, she did.
No, it was the
self-service.
Yeah, it was the person in Waitrose. Person in Waitrose, surely.
It was a self-serve.
The person in Waitrose should have been looking and said, you've not put the lid on properly. So their fault.
It was
absolutely.
Rachel.
Well, we've established that. Anyway, and also, as Sue says, maybe this person was dead. I don't think they were. I think she's lived to fight another day. It's a bit of foam, that's all it is. So that's fine. Good work, Rachel's abdomen, doing a lot of work there.
Yeah, clearly absolutely.
Pretty toned there. Bit like me. So for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
I think that's the first confession we've had where someone has died halfway through.
as we think has died halfway through.
As a result of the action.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, if I'd realised that, I didn't realise that until Susie pointed out.
No,
we obviously wouldn't have included it.
Because
that would be a very sad moment.
Killed by foam.
Killed by foam.
Well, probably.
And a little plastic thing landing on your
killed
head.
Killed before the foam. So someone else involved.
Wow,
this thing goes all the way to the top.
Son in the driver's seat. Then.
Someone else on the grassy knoll.
So the son was probably waiting for the coffee incident so he could blame it on someone else.
Good thinking.
Wow.
Anyway, we got this on the People's Verdict. Matt really liked this one a lot.
And Danny in Romford says, forgiven. And we could call it Latte Will and Testament.
Could we?
Latte Will and Testament.
No, it doesn't work for me.
It works for me.
Okay.
Latte Will and Testament.
Last Will and Testament.
Yes.
Last. No.
It's perfect.
It's not.
Well done to whoever sent that in.
Danny and Romford.
Danny and Romford, that's what I thought. Well done, Danny.
You just said Danny and Romford.
Romford, yes, that's what I said, yeah.
Anyway, very strange. It brings us to the end of this week's podcast. If you have a tale and you need to get forgiveness for it, hopefully not involving death in any way.
No.
Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Over to Brother Matt for this week's interesting code phrase.
And the code phrase for this week is multi-tool in my G-string. Multi-tool in my G-string. Make sure you send that to Simon Mayo on all of his social media
or Matt.
Throughout the weekend.
Matt's
you said it on mine, but it's all filth there anyway, so...
Yeah,
I mean, not on me, obviously. That's a bit weird.
On X, but... Threads, Blue Sky, Instagram, you can find it all. Basically, it's all very straightforward. Remember to leave us a 5-star review and don't forget to share the podcast with a friend in a shower or a bath. Please get in touch and send us your confession. We'll be back next week with another fresh batch of interesting tales. Until then, from the pub, but interestingly in the studio, Sister Susie says...
Ta-ra!
From the cupboard of tat, Sister Holly performs these words...
See you later, alligator.
And Brother Matthew says...
Goodbye! Sorry, I just took a beep. I didn't realise.
Why did you
I forgot
do that
because
then?
I was just having some water.
You're blowing a kiss.
It did feel like that, didn't it?
Because of Valentine's Day.
Secretly, I love it.
All loved up. Anyway, thank you for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.
I like tall
speakers. I like small speakers.
Wired for sound. Wow, so good.